Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Three Martini Lunch. Happy New Year! We hope you had a great time ringing in the new year and enjoying all that college football yesterday. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Welcome to the final installment of our year-end awards. It's obviously the start of 2014, but what better way to ring in the new year by giving out the most prestigious awards from 2013, including Person of the Year, Turncoat of the Year, and our individual New Year's resolution. So, Jim, let's start with Person of the Year. Obviously, Time magazine gave their award to Pope Francis. A lot of people like that as previous Time Person of the Year award winners. I think you and I welcome him to the club since we were the Person of the Year back sometime in the 2000s when the online shopper was the Person of the Year. So welcome to the club, Pope Francis. My selection this year, Vladimir Putin. Apparently, Obama did have more flexibility once he got reelected. Putin played Obama like a fiddle on a number of occasions this year, particularly over the Syrian situation when Bashar Assad apparently used chemical weapons on his own people. The evidence seems to point in that direction, certainly. And the president, of course, was trying to drum up international and domestic support for military action. He couldn't find it. A throwaway line from John Kerry at an exasperated press conference. Vladimir Putin seized on that, kept Bashar Assad in power without any military threat from the United States. I have to think that that greased the skids towards the Iranian nuclear agreement as well, since Iran and Syria are certainly interconnected. And, of course, Russia harbored Edward Snowden, and who knows what they got from him during his time in Russia. So in a lot of different ways, none of them very good. Vladimir Putin definitely ran roughshod over the president, and I think in a lot of major stories earned the Person of the Year.
That is a very solid choice there, Greg. I just want to put one small correction to what you said, though. Pope Francis is actually a two-time winner. He won in 2006. Along with everyone else on Earth.
Assuming he shopped online.
A twofer, you know. Now he's going for three for next year. Putin, undoubtedly, a very big, influential figure in world affairs this past year, oftentimes for ill, for U.S. interests. But I think, you know, you have to call it as it is. And this was Putin's year. It's ironic because Time had made him their man of the year a few years back when he had actually not been right person, wrong year, I guess could be the attitude over there. Greg, I'm going to surprise you a little bit, but I am going to be, people are going to think I am joking. People are going to say this is a tongue-in-cheek suggestion, but I think you can make a really solid choice for a person I want to make, not really as a person of the year, but honest to goodness, as the single, like the conservative of the year, or you might say the most valuable player for conservatives in 2013. Greg, my nomination is Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. Had she run Obamacare well, the country would look completely different right now. Or if you argue that Obama cannot run smoothly as it's currently written as law, had she not been as dedicated to our cause as she is, she would have warned the president and the rest of the administration of the impending disaster, and they would have done something about it. You know, she wouldn't have let Mr. President Obama, you can't run out and say this will be just like shopping on Amazon or just like shopping on Kayak. She would have warned him. She would have stopped him. But because she clearly is the most effective sleeper agent for the cause of conservatism in all of human history, either through remaining oblivious or hiding it until it was too late. Think about it. Kathleen Sebelius, more than Ted Cruz, more than Rand Paul or Bobby Jindal or Tom Coburn or any of these folks that we like. She has done irreparable damage to the reputation of the Obama administration, the reputation of President Obama, the cause of big government and American liberalism itself. So for this accomplishment, Kathleen Sebelius is not just the conservative of the year for 2013. It's early. She may end up being the single most influential person for the cause of limited government for the entire decade. How is that for a bold choice, Greg?
Wow. That's a very bold choice. And you may very well be right. If this rollout continues to be as disastrous as it has been. Wow. I like that choice. All right, on to Turncoat of the Year. And part of me wanted to go with some of the conservative folks who surprised us in their support of immigration reform. Rubio and Ryan come to mind. But I thought, you know, they've done some other things that we should be happy about and champion good things. So I don't want to be that harsh on them. And I'll just go with the traditional definition of the word and give it to Edward Snowden. He obviously got this treasure trove of materials from the NSA, as we explained here in the podcast. There were some positive things to come about this, including the reach of government into our private affairs and communications. Should they have records on site, essentially, at the NSA to page through without any sort of court warrants whatsoever. Who knows if they're actually listening into some of these calls? And at the same time, while we get this debate going, which is nice, he's still a traitor to the country. And these people who are strong libertarians who think that he's an American hero, I can't understand that whatsoever. This is a guy who is a traitor to the United States of America and should be brought to justice as swiftly and as harshly as humanly possible. Just because he may have helped trigger a healthy debate doesn't mean it was triggered in a healthy way, and his actions can no way be condoned.
That's a really good choice there, Greg. I actually had thought you might go in that direction, so I had a backup choice, and I'm pleased with it. And I think it's a you know, slightly more amusing term of turncoat, but it still fits very well. I am going with Charlie Crist, who is, you know, expected to be the Democrats' nominee for governor in Florida next year. You may remember him as a Republican governor, and before that, a Republican state insurance commissioner and state attorney general. You know, in other words, I believe, I'm pretty sure Charlie Crist was elected statewide as a Republican a good four or five times. And being, you know, at one point there was talk of him being John McCain's running mate in 2008. This was a guy who was Mr. Republicans in Florida. Now, there were a bunch of, you know, folks who didn't necessarily like him, but he decides to run for Senate. Marco Rubio decides to run for Senate as well. Marco Rubio is just a flat-out better candidate on a whole bunch of issues. Charlie Crist had, post-2008, decided to position himself in that fantastic, you know, Arlen Specter, John Huntsman niche that gets you accolades on MSNBC, but not so terrific if you're trying to win over Republican primary voters. He declares, I am not running as an independent. Then 2 weeks later, he decides to run as an independent. So he loses the Senate race in 2010, speaks at the Democratic convention in 2012. We thought we'd, you know, see the last of this guy when he started doing the law firm ads. You know, if you need a lawyer, call whatever, you know, Green and Fazio or whatever that law firm down in Florida was. But no, he's determined to run for governor again. He'll be running against Rick Scott, and Rick Scott's numbers are not terrific, but Rick Scott will have about $1 billion to run for his reelection campaign. It'd be really fascinating if you're a Florida Democrat, you know, after spending literally like the past decade believing Charlie Crist was the guy you had to beat year in and year out. Now he's your guy. Now you're doing everything possible to get this guy elected. Now you're totally convinced that all he's flipped on all the issues that used to drive you crazy, and that he will be a good Democrat and he will run the state the way you want. I have a suspicion Democrats will not quite embrace him with open arms. There was talk about Senator Nelson running. And so I just think, you know, the idea that you can, you know, dedicate your life to one party, flip, and then within one cycle expect the other party to embrace you wholeheartedly is kind of an implausible one. If Charlie Crist ends up becoming a Democratic hero, then I think he'll rank among the all-time turncoats in American politics.
He might be a double winner. I got to think at some point in the last 3 or 4 years we picked him once before. So a two-time winner, very, very impressive. I don't know that anyone's political career has ever changed so much because of a hug, you know?
Yeah.
Because he supported stimulus for some bizarre reason, and then he hugged Obama on stage, and that was the beginning of the end.
If we were cynical, we would say, look, you looked at the 2008 election results and believe the country had shifted left and would stay shifting left for a good long time. Didn't see the Tea Party coming, didn't see the reaction to the opening months of the Obama administration, the stimulus, Obamacare, and all that stuff. And that's what happens. You know, sometimes you overreach and forget where the electorate is. So there you go.
Absolutely. And he thought he would beat Marco Rubio in a romp, and obviously that didn't happen. All right, on to our New Year's resolution now, especially for me. At least I'm going to just term it in terms of the podcast. And seem like we're a lot of our good martinis are either bad things that happened to Obama policies or Democratic politicians sticking their foot in their mouth or polls showing Republicans ahead, all of which are generally good for the cause. But I think one thing I'm going to be looking for martinis, particularly good martinis next year, are not just Republican or conservative figures who, or even Democratic figures who condemn liberal policies and ideas, but those who specifically and actively promote positive conservative solutions. Now, we don't get as much of that as I would like to see, and so it's hard to put those in when they don't exist. But heading into an election year, hopefully a lot of people will pick up that mantle, proudly trumpet free market, limited government ideas. And when they do, I will be very happy to recommend them for the first martini.
Greg, I salute you because going out and finding not merely, you know, terrible failures on the part of liberalism, but, you know, great successes, great articulations of the conservative message and great, you know, uplifting stories like that is a lot of work. And I'm glad you're doing that, because I don't want to do it. So if you've liked the format so far with lots of snarking laughter about failures of liberals and Democrats, don't worry. I'll still be here next year in America.
Jim will be there. Don't forget, Republicans aren't doing a lot of that, so we'll probably still do a lot of that.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. So so I have a slightly different New Year's resolution. It is a smug, contemptuous, and insufferable one. But so I hold in my hand right now an advanced copy of my book, my first novel entitled The Weed Agency, coming out from Crown Forum and Random House in June of next year. You may have noticed other folks at National Review write books. And when you have a book, you tend to turn into a walking commercial, and you tend to tout it and plug it every 5 minutes. So my New Year's resolution is to not be insufferable about it. And my New Year's resolution is to try to do it in moderation. And people might say, hey, wait a minute, the year hasn't even, the year just began and Jim's already doing it. So how many times in the coming year will he end up talking about his book and hawking it to these dedicated listeners? Well, we'll just have to wait and see, America. But my guess is to try to do it in a way that is not forced, not ham-handed, and to be slightly less in your face than, say, Will Ferrell doing his Ron Burgundy impression absolutely everywhere, including, I believe, door-to-door now. So that's my New Year's resolution. I have a mission ahead of me in this coming year, but I also want to do something in a way that never crosses the line and becomes annoying. So tune in tomorrow to the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you by Crown Forum, the Weed Agency, available June 2nd from Amazon.com and on Campaign Spot. Thank you.
Well, we will be happy to plug that all the way to and through June. And congratulations on that, Jim. Very exciting. I look forward to reading it myself. When you got your advanced copy, was it kind of like the end of the first Back to the Future when they excitedly brought the box in and you ripped out the stuffing and, wow, there it is?
It was pretty exciting. This has been in the works. I mean, the deadline to finish writing it was January of 2013. And I thought they were going to come out with it in 2013. They talked about it and they concluded that 2014 would be better. The professionals, I trust their judgment on this. It's a comic satire of the federal bureaucracy. You might have figured with like Obamacare collapsing, that might have been a nice news hook for all of it, considering how, honest to goodness, like I said, finished writing this in January. A key plot point is a website that doesn't work. Everyone's going to say, oh, you got that idea from healthcare.gov. No, I was writing this long beforehand. But anyway, but it is a heck of a lot of joyous fun to hold it in your hands and see it become real. Hopefully it sells very, very well, but I've had a good time writing it either way. And I want to preemptively thank you for your support and also for giving me this this kind of midday great opportunity to just kind of check in on what's going on in the world and hopefully have a laugh or two about the madness that surrounds us, Greg.
Well, there'll be no shortage of opportunities for that. I look forward to a very exciting year ahead in the podcast as well. Jim, it's always a pleasure. We are actually off tomorrow, but we'll be back on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim, we'll talk to you then.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you then.
And we hope all of you join us on Monday as well for the next Three Martini Lunch.